Hello and welcome to another edition of the Warriors HQ podcast. We're here at Oracle Arena with my guy, my colleague, Mark Medina. How you doing, man?
Logan, my guy and colleague. I'm here with you as well. What's going on, man?
Good, man. It's been an interesting week, an interesting homestand, an interesting set of events.
Yeah. What I've noticed so far this season, I mean, we knew the Warriors are going to be about winning and trying to defend their championship, but they're all about drama, they're all about injuries, and they're all about keeping us on their toes. It keeps us interested.
Yeah.
A little bit.
On the horizon, though, we do have some bit of good news, right?
I mean, yeah.
Stephen Curry is supposed to go on this upcoming road trip. He's supposed to come back,
right?
As we heard from Steve Kerr. How do you think that's going to affect things going forward?
Well, I think it's going to affect it a lot. Like this Steph Curry guy, he's kind of a big deal, right? He's their best player. He's their best leader. I mean, it's not even just the outside shots he makes, but you just think of the gravitational pull that he has on the team. Where, man, guys on other teams, they got to cover a star from 30 feet out, and all of a sudden Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson have some open looks. All of a sudden some role players have open looks, and you think, man, these guys are really good. You can't leave them open. Why is that? Because they got to account for Steph Curry. So it's going to be a big deal. And, you know, unlike last year, Logan, not that the Warriors were better without Steph Curry, certainly not, but when he had that initial ankle injury last season where he missed 11 games in December, they went 9-2 without him. You know, KD played really well. They had a really good defense. They had some role players step in. And here, it's been a little bit of a slog where KD and Klay, their shots aren't falling as consistently. You add in the fact that Draymond Green's also been out, and the fact that there's been some younger players here. Like, maybe long-term that helps the Warriors, but short-term, they're still getting acclimated to the system. They don't know their role yet. So it's just been that perfect storm of all those things, plus, you know, that recent argument that Kevin Durant, Draymond Green had, you may have heard about. So, a lot of interesting time for the Warriors, to say the least.
Well, when you look at it, you touched upon it about last year, how they were marketably better last year without Stephen Curry than this year.
Yeah.
Why do you think this year was a little bit different? I mean, I feel like Klay Thompson's game up until recently fell off a cliff.
Right.
Kevin's game to a certain extent fell off a cliff up until Sacramento when they played in that game. He had a monster game. But why do you think the other stars kind of trailed off in a way they didn't last
year? Well, I would say it's two things, Logan. One, Draymond Green has missed 8 of the past 10 games with his right toe injury. And I think that this settles the debate, at least in my mind, when you're looking at the all-star pecking order, right? Steph Curry, without a doubt, is their best player, their most important player. Kevin Durant, I think, you know, when you're looking at talent, he's their second-best player. But as far as the most important player on the team, I think you have Steph Curry as number one, and then Draymond Green as number two, because Draymond does all those other things that no one else can with the defense, the playmaking, the intensity. And the Warriors are already going to be struggling without Steph because they don't have those open looks that they used to get. They can't have a guy that can just launch 30-footers when they need a bailout. But when you lose Draymond on top of that, you just lose you lose the engine in Steph Curry that makes the Warriors' vehicle go. But then you lose the motor with Draymond Green. All of a sudden, you're dealing with some parts that don't work right consistently there.
But definitely, I mean, you kind of see just from the eye test, the numbers definitely support this, but from the eye test, it seemed like the offense is way more stagnant without Draymond and Steph out of the lineup. It seemed like it was just dumping into the post the whole time. And, I mean, that definitely played a part in it. But do you see Steph, is there like going to be an acclimation period? Or do you, like last year when he played against New Orleans, there was like a little bit of an acclimation period? Or do you think he's just going to come out?
You know what's funny, Logan? The thing about Steph, when he comes back from an injury, there's no acclimation period at all. Remember when he came back after his first ankle injury? He went off, I think, for 38 points against Memphis.
Yep.
And then, you know, he closed out the regular season in the first round of the playoffs with that MCL injury in his left knee. And his first game back, man, he just lit it up. Now, he came off the bench to just kind of phase him into the lineup, but it was Steph Curry. Now, in fairness, I think there was that second game he had a little bit of hiccups, but after that it was just Steph Curry as normal. So I think the encouraging thing for the Warriors is when Steph Curry comes back and is healthy, he's Steph Curry. I think the question mark is, can he stay healthy? Now, this injury is not related to the ankles, not related to the knee. He's got that left groin injury that he had ever since, you know, November 8th against Milwaukee. But it's more of the idea, can Steph, you know, avoid these landmines of getting hurt? Now, it's professional sports. Injuries happen. But I think that's kind of the larger question mark than how Steph Curry will come back once he returns. History's shown that once he comes back, there's no holding him back. He's ready to go.
And I think another curious thing, and I think this hasn't been really talked about, is Stephen's injury history, as far as he's been a clean bill of health ever since those early onset ankle injuries.
Yeah. But
last year, he got hurt. I played 60-something games. I don't know exactly the game, but he played that game, that many games, and this year he's getting injured, you know, kind of frequently. Is there concern, do you think, at all?
I think so, but it's hard to say, like, to what extent, right? Because when you looked at last year, there were four different incidents where he injured his left ankle, but can you say it's because he has a weak ankle, or were there just weird incidents? I mean, you remember, Logan, when we were at shoot around, he slipped on a wet spot on the practice floor. I shouldn't say it was a wet spot, because it's not like the ball boys aren't doing their job, but he just slipped on the court. And then there were other times where he stepped on Zaza Pachulia's shoe, and then JaVale McGee knocked into him. Like, how do you avoid those things? The knee injury, I believe it happened in a San Antonio game where he just landed awkwardly. Same thing with this Milwaukee game where he was contesting a shot and he landed awkwardly, got hit in the groin a little bit, and he wasn't the same. So when you look at that, they're all kind of like random acts. And I remember when I asked Steph, like, is there anything you feel like you need to avoid or doing so this doesn't happen again? And he chalked it up to, it's sports, that's what happens. But when you look at his off season, one of the reasons why he says it was his best off season he's ever had in his career so far is he took a lot of time of first resting and then really strengthening his ankles and his knees, where even if you can't say he was getting hurt because of quote unquote weak ankles or knees, when you have it strengthened more, maybe that minimizes the chance. So just a little bit of a gray area there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely rough, but I mean, I think that Steph will come back at a certain point, but do you think there's going to be an adjustment from a team aspect? Or did they kind of know, you know, Kevin said that Steph is a system.
Yeah.
But do you think there's going to be an adjustment period if they have a certain style that they've been playing and now they just put an all-star back in?
No, you know, I think it would be an adjustment if all the guys are playing really well, and then it's a matter of how well did they receive the idea of getting fewer shots, fewer opportunities, fewer minutes. But here, I think the Warriors are ready for Steph Curry to come back yesterday. I mean, yeah. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson haven't gotten the same amount of open looks. But you know what's fascinating is at the same time they haven't gotten open looks, a lot of times they kind of settle because the ball's not moving as well as it should be, some post-ups, some ISOs. At the same time, they've gotten open looks that they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the Warriors haven't been the same team, they haven't been as pretty, if Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant simply made more open shots, maybe we wouldn't have seen the Warriors go on this four-game losing streak, which was the first time since Steve Kerr got hired in 2014. But I think it also illustrates the Warriors haven't always played perfect basketball, even when Steph Curry was in the lineup, but he increased the margin for error. He was able to have really good games that won the Warriors games, even if they didn't play well. So I don't want to pin it on Kevin and Klay solely not hitting shots. You also have to add in they've been really regressed defensively, and you have to attach a lot of Draymond's absence to that. And then I think the underrated part, which Steve Kerr alluded to this, is they made a calculated decision this offseason to go younger, and it all makes sense. They want to develop younger talent. Maybe they bloom into something greater when you're looking at carving a bigger role for Damian Jones and Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook and Kevon Looney, drafting Jacob Evans. But in the short term, those guys aren't accustomed to those bigger roles, and I think more for Jacob Evans' standpoint, he's still getting used to the system. I think Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, and Kevon Looney are still getting used to the idea of that center by committee approach, where last year You know, they ran their offense a lot of times through David West, and he was solid. He made mid-range jumpers. He didn't screw anything up. Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, they had a limited game. They played limited minutes, but they had a specific role that they knew, and they did it well. Where here, there's all that adjustment. When you tie in all the other elements that we've talked about with missing two All-Stars, kind of that weird tension that Kevin and Draymond had because of that argument in L.A., it's not a good recipe for winning.
For sure. Also, another person that and that's something I reported, I think, DeMarcus Cousins, after Christmas, he's going to be they expect him, we'll talk to some sources, he's going to be they expect him to be come back into the lineup after Christmas. How do you how do you think that will work out? I mean, this is kind of early DeMarcus talk, but how do you think that will affect how, you know, the team is going, especially if Steph is on a roll, All-Star is on a roll, you're putting another All-Star into the fold.
Yeah, well, I think this is what the Warriors are intrigued with, what the NBA is intrigued with is, will DeMarcus live up to why he wanted to come here to, with the Warriors, of having a better chance to win an NBA championship, and that he's fine with reducing his numbers, maybe the amount of shots he gets. You know him pretty well from your time at SAC. And my feeling when you talk to the Warriors is he's open to that idea. Like, he knew what he signed up for, and I think Bob Meyer said it best, that the fact that he was willing to take such a significant pay cut shows that he was serious about this. So he's just not doing this. He knows what he's getting into. He's going to be starting. Steve Kerr made that clear. It's not like Damian Jones or Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell are starting ahead of him. But I think what intrigues the Warriors is they have so much flexibility, where he is a great post-up player. He's a great shooter. He's a great passer. And they can really manipulate it any way they want, depending on who's playing well and then what they need. I think the number one question mark, when I've talked to people around the league and different medical people, because of just the dicey nature of Achilles injuries, is what kind of pace can DeMarcus play at? And that could be an adjustment, but I think to the Warriors' credit, they've been very flexible with that. Like, you know, Logan, they are kind of the face right now of the modern NBA of, hey, they're a team that shoots up a lot of threes, they score a lot. But I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. The real reason why they've shot a lot of threes in the last few years isn't because of Steve Kerr's system. It's because they have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. They then added Kevin Durant 2 years ago. But if they need to play at a slower pace, they certainly will. And they have been ever since Steph Curry's come back. So I think that there might be a happy medium so that they're not exposing DeMarcus Cousins and putting him in a bad position. They want him to be in a position to succeed, but there's no doubt DeMarcus is going to have to sacrifice, but I think it's going to be for the larger benefit. Yeah, I think the other important aspect is that he can be that guy that is staggered with the second unit. And you know, when I was referencing what Steve Kerr talked about with David West running the offense with the second unit last year, I think DeMarcus Cousins is going to have that responsibility. And I think that enables both the Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins to have it both ways. He can sacrifice whatever he needs to sacrifice to fit in with the four other All-Stars in the starting lineup. But if he's with the second unit, he's still going to be able to get his numbers, because more often than not, he's going to be the most talented player on the floor at that time.
Well, here's a bigger question for you. What's one of the guys in the center rotation is going to be put out of the center rotation?
Yeah, that's a good question, Logan.
What is your early indications telling you? When you think about it right now,
well, the reason why it has been fluid these past few games, as opposed to the beginning of the season when Steve Kerr went with Damian Jones, is because he sees a lot of weaknesses from all their players. Mm-hmm. With Damian Jones, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, and you could go down the line. Damian Jones can get in foul trouble. The positives is he can throw a lot of cool lobs. He can get some rebounds, but they think his aggressiveness isn't as consistent. The weaknesses with Jordan Bell, you know, he's been in and out of the rotation because he's a wild card. Sometimes he relies too much on the jump shot that he settled or worked on a lot this summer. But I think the most important part is what Steve Kerr sees the difference between him and Kevon Looney, where he doesn't feel like Jordan Bell's coachable. he handles criticism well, especially for a young player, but they don't feel that he is as ready for any situation from a personnel standpoint, lineup standpoint. Kevon Looney, they have that comfort level of he's a guy that can give you minutes without screwing it up, but his game is limited offensively, and he's been in and out of the lineup, I think, a lot more when Steph Curry's been out because their floor spacing's reduced. And when you have a guy with Kevon Looney who has a limited offensive game, he takes up a lot of space. So to get back to your question, I think it's going to be a kind of a carousel, but I think for the most part, I could see Damian Jones being the casualty, and here's why. You're going with DeMarcus Cousins in the starting lineup for an obvious reason. He's an all-star. He is their best center, but also he matches up well against the bigs, and that's one of the reasons why Damian has gotten more opportunities than not, because he's just bigger in size than Jordan Bell,
you guys know,
and Kevon Looney.
We are literally recording this podcast in Oracle Arena in the behind the scenes here, so you can hear a lot of stuff going on around here. Just want to let the viewers listen.
Give them some scoops there.
Just giving them some scoops. But yeah, no, I do agree with you, but I mean, it also depends on, they also have a month to do this, right? I think that also, it's weird how this carousel goes, because one day it could be, you know, Damian Jones might not be the one in the lineup when DeMarcus gets back. And sometimes, like, Jordan Bell did not have the start that he wanted to start this season. And the only constant, though, has been Kevon Looney. As far as consistency, that's someone they trust. He's not going to be flashy, but he is going to get the job done, whether it be switching or something. So I think he's definitely going to be he's certified to be into that rotation.
Yeah, look, I think you had a good point that nothing is ever absolute in Steve Kerr's rotation. All these guys are going to play at some point. They're going to be given a chance. Injuries happen as well. But I think if you're asking my prediction, who's going to lose the most playing time out of when DeMarcus comes back, I think it's going to be Damian, simply because there was one factor that helped his cause in starting and getting more minutes, because he was a true center. Mm-hmm. And when he goes up against the likes of Marc Gasol, Karl Anthony Towns, Steven Adams, they want to put a guy that can match size for size. And there, he doesn't have that as a factor that can play to his advantage as much, because DeMarcus has that.
Yeah, I do think that. And also, getting absolutely clobbered by Steven Adams didn't help his cause.
No, zero rebounds against Steven Adams.
And so I think it might be, Dave, you made up a good point, but let's go with staying on injuries. We still have Draymond Green and Alphonso McKinney.
Yeah.
What is the latest on that? Like, what is up with – I know the toe injury is a very tricky injury, but what is the latest on Draymond?
That's the thing that we have the least information on, because Steve Kerr has been saying he's day-to-day, both of those guys. But part of it makes sense why they haven't come back, because – frankly, they haven't had a lot of practice times. There's been a lot of back-to-backs. There's been a few road trips, and after a road trip, they don't practice. And it's Steve Kerr's philosophy with any injured player that he wants them to get a full practice in before they come back on the court. He's just being a smart coach, because you want to see how they respond to that workload, because the workload in a game is so much different than a practice. So I could see Draymond Green, Alphonso McKinney coming back Thursday against Toronto. They will practice Tuesday. The thing about Draymond is he had another MRI, as Chris Haynes from Yahoo first reported, and I've later confirmed with the Warriors, and it wasn't anything that suggested his toe got worse. If anything, it actually confirmed that it's what they thought it was. It was a sprain, but it's weird. I think I would be more concerned about Draymond's injury, not just because of who he is, but the fact that he came back, remember, after missing two games. He even admitted that he lobbied to Steve Kerr to get back in the lineup, and then Steve Kerr started saying, hey, we need to get him some minute restrictions. We may have rushed him back too soon. And, yeah, I know following his Instagram story, it looked like he was getting some work done on Thanksgiving. So if he's spending the holiday, his holiday time, trying to get this right, it shows it's a little bit dicier. When I've talked to Alphonso McKinney, he sounds like it's not even a thing. Like, if it were up to him, he would play. And maybe you shouldn't be surprised about that. All these players will say they're fine. But he's walking me through that he's been doing a lot of conditioning work. He's been doing a lot of bike work. So it really might be more of the Warriors just protecting them than anything else. But I would expect that maybe not Toronto on Thursday, but early on in that road trip, you'll see them back in the lineup.
Is, I mean, Draymond lobbying to get back isn't new. I know last year in Detroit he had a shoulder injury and he lobbied to get back. It's like are they still trying to figure out the balance of protecting Draymond from himself, because he can play through injuries, but it's not good in the long term.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much the how much to protect him from himself. I think that they just didn't realize that his toe was as bad as it was, and part of that was that they just saw on the floor how he reacted. Sometimes you need that sample size to see for yourself. But I think the larger concern is more of how does Draymond's body hold up. He's only 28 years old, so it's not like he's fighting father time. He's still in his prime. But when you look at last season, he missed a combined 12 games last season. That's actually not a lot of games, but there was always times that he was healthy enough to play, but he wasn't healthy enough not to need treatment. They're always overlapping. Like, first it was like whack-a-mole. Like, he's got a shoulder issue, then he's got a knee issue, he's got an elbow issue, sometimes all the above. It was fascinating. Sometimes after the game you would see it was almost wrapped like a mummy. Like, there'd be ice bags wrapped around all these different body parts. And I think the thing about Draymond is, as much as you want to be preventative, like, his whole game is about being physical and having a physical presence. He is a forward that can sometimes play the five, so it's not like you can be benefiting from being on, you know, a guard, and sometimes you're more perimeter-oriented or anything. This guy is an intense defender, and to be able to be effective, not only does he have to be in a position of being able to absorb that kind of contact, he has to be able to initiate it. And if you initiate it, your opponent fears you a lot more if they feel like you're very strong. But if you're hurt, that doesn't have as much of an impact. So that's the fascinating thing moving forward, especially when, remember when he entered training camp, he was saying how exhausted he was this past summer and how he really needed to get away from basketball and clear his mind. Mm-hmm. And you look, ever since the season started, he missed three preseason games. He came back and, to his credit, played really well, but now another injury situation. So you just wonder, is this what, you know, Warrior fans should expect, that there might be another injury a month from now that the Warriors will have to monitor, even if it's not season ending and debilitating, serious enough to keep him out for a handful of games.
For sure. Now let's get to this upcoming road trip.
Yeah.
We've got the Warriors going up. They started on Thursday in Toronto, followed by Pistons, Hawks, Cavaliers, and finish off in the Bucks. It seems like there's some towards the end and the beginning of that, there's some tough road games.
Yeah, I think the beginning and the end, it's teams maybe they see in the NBA Finals, right?
Yeah. Dieter did say that Milwaukee has great June weather.
Has Milwaukee grown on you yet or no?
No.
Not at all. So
no.
You're rooting for Toronto.
I mean, you're not supposed to root in this profession.
You're not.
I would be happy with that.
Yeah, we're not talking about rooting, hey, you want X team to win. We're talking about rooting, which city would you like to go to in June?
Yeah, I think that. I think that we'll see. But what do you think about this road trip? I mean, there's it's top heavy and bottom heavy. But like, how do you think the Warriors can do in this road trip?
Well, yeah, it's top heavy, bottom heavy, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud. Detroit is still a team that can be physical with them, and I think there's a lot of elements that make that game interesting. Maybe Draymond feels like, hey, I really want to come back for this game because it's my hometown. Zaza Pachulia facing his team, there might be some nostalgia there. You know, Cleveland's a hot mess. Atlanta's, I think Travis Schlenk's doing a great thing with rebuilding, but they're in rebuilding mode.
Yeah.
So you have some games that they should be able to win without a problem, and then basically you have the most challenging games from the beginning and the end. I think regardless of opponent, the fascinating thing under this is the timing of the returns of Steph Curry and Draymond Green. How much, to any degree, does it go into Steph's psyche and Draymond's psyche? Hey, I really want to come back so I can play the Raptors. They're a team that's on the rise. They've gotten Kawhi Leonard. They're considered a team that could be in the NBA Finals. Do they want to be on that stage? Does Draymond want to make sure that he's good for Detroit,
homecoming? Do we want to give Mark Medina another stamp on his passport?
Oh, I'll get that. Yeah. I got a lot. I got China, Spain, Italy, Mexico, Germany. But does he want to time that so he can make his debut in Detroit? And now Milwaukee's the last game, but do they be cautious? Are they cautious if maybe there's some knickknacks after they come back presuming it's early in the trip, where they sit Atlanta, Cleveland, so they're ready for the Milwaukee game. I mean, Draymond Green himself, Logan, even admitted that when he missed those two games against Milwaukee and Brooklyn, he was really upset that he missed the Bucks game, because they're a young team on the rise, and he really wanted to be able to match up with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Did I get that right or no?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo?
Let's just Giannis.
Let's just move. Yeah, Giannis, the Greek freak. He wanted to play him because he loves defending those kind of guys.
Yeah, and but we'll see what happens. Yeah, before we get out of here, do you have a record maybe on this trip?
A record prediction?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Come on, hot take.
Yeah, hot take. Okay. I think, honestly, I think, man, I don't want to be boring, but if Steph comes back, they're gonna go undefeated. Now, if Steph and Draymond don't come back for the Toronto game, I think they're gonna lose that game. But then after that, I think that they'll go 4-1. The expectation is that Steph Curry will come back for this trip. So you think it's gonna be before the Milwaukee game, the last game. So I think 4-1. But if Steph and Draymond come back for Toronto, I think it's going to go 5-0, and it's going to be amazing how much that changes the narrative with the Warriors, because right now, these past few weeks, it's been what's going on with the team, will they be able to get through all this drama, what's going on, and I think that the simple answer was they're struggling because they don't have Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and all the other things, the Durant, Draymond incident, the fact that they have some younger players, we can't discount those as factors. But at the end of the day, if they had four healthy all-stars, they'd still be winning regardless of whether Kevin or Draymond are getting along or not.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, I'll do my prediction. I have them going 4-1.
4-1, okay. And who do you have them losing to?
I just think I don't have a specific team that they'll lose to. I just think that there's one of those things where, you know, those things where they lose focus. You know, those games are one of those the games where the Warriors just have, like, why did they lose that?
Right.
I think they're going to have one of those. And if Steph doesn't make it, I think they lose to Toronto.
Without a doubt. I mean, Toronto's a legitimately good team.
Yeah.
And you don't have one of your all-stars. This illustrates what we're talking about. Is there anything that can unseat the Warriors from winning an NBA championship? It's pretty simple. If they're not healthy, then all of a sudden they're vulnerable. But if they are, I don't see anything stopping them.
All right, so you have 5-1.
I have 5-0 if Steph comes back. But if he's not back, it's 4-1.
I have 4-1 nonetheless.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is Mark Medina. I am Logan Murdoch. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, MarkG_Medina, Logan M. Murdoch. We have him on, can I say your Instagram?
Sure.
Medina Syracuse
there
on Instagram.
Go.
Logan M. Murdoch on Instagram. You can follow us, our newsletter at Warriors HQ newsletter, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes on the Warriors HQ podcast. And I'm missing anything you got.
Yeah,
you
I think I think go. There's Get one it. More promotion that we got. I mean, everyone's shopping, you know, after Thanksgiving for the Christmas holiday. Here's a pretty good special. If you subscribe to the Mercury News East Bay Times website for $40 a year, you also get a free Warriors Championship commemorative book. Features a lot of great photos that the Mercury News and East Bay Times photo department put together, a lot of articles that Logan and I wrote about the championship last season, a really good coffee table book. So it's $40 for a year's worth of subscription to our site and the championship book. It's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal, man. You guys should tap in and get the book.
Without a doubt.
All right. Well, with that being said, we'll talk to you next time. I'm sure Funky Cole Medina has something going on. if you see him every time we're together, if you see him at a game, he's signing autographs, he's kissing babies, he's taking pictures. He's a star. So,
and if you see Logan Murdoch, he's out getting scooped. So he might be busy, but that's not because he's being stuck up. It's just that he's got a job to do.
For sure. All right. We'll see you guys next time.